I'm Eileen Dillon, MSW, the Emotional Pro, and let's talk about anger. Anger is the most active emotion that human beings have, which means that it has the potential to have the greatest impact on us. That impact can be positive when we understand the true intended role for anger in human life and work with it. But the impact can also be negative, creating mental damage, blocking our success, can create underlying indebtedness, destroy our self-esteem, and even make us physically ill. This happens, of course, when we hold on to anger, giving anger's great energy and opportunity to work inside of us. In fact, held on to long enough, the energy of anger can kill us. In this mini course, I'm going to be sharing with you some important information about anger that you can use to decrease its potentially negative impact on you, while at the same time improving your good feelings in life. So in this hour, we're going to look at what we all face in being human beings and citizens of the earth, the role that emotions are intended to play in that system, the universal cause of anger, the signal that anger offers us, how to change particular angers that you feel, and what to do when somebody becomes angry with you. At the end of this hour, you'll have information and tools that can start you on the road to becoming an anger master. Instead of anger happening to you, you'll be using it as the tool it's intended to be for you. The explanation and the changes you will make are so simple that even a young child can grasp and use them, and yet the difference that will make in your own everyday life will be profound. Come along with me on this short journey of personal discovery. Did you ever wonder if there was an overall explanation for what we're all doing here on this earth? Not a teleological explanation, just a simple everyday one that can help you to navigate your life, or make sense of what happens, or get more in charge of what happens to you. There is one explanation of the purpose of life with which I have worked with clients for nearly 40 years that accomplishes these purposes. The thousands of people with whom I've worked as a psychotherapist, lecturer, teacher, author, coach, and friend have demonstrated to me how much easier life becomes when you accept this explanation and live your life in harmony with it. So consider this. Think of our earth as a giant school to which we've all come in order to learn and grow. Every one of us has come here in order to learn and grow. We have been born to learn. And we learn through our experience. And we get homework assignments in our childhoods. Whatever happens in your childhood, whether it's intensely wonderful or intensely not wonderful, those set up your homework assignments. When we complete the work on our homework assignments, on a particular homework assignment, we graduate. If we don't complete the homework assignment in a particular area, then we tend to go over it and over it and over it again, and each time we go over it, it's a harsher lesson. Well, that may be a little depressing sounding, but the good news is that the system that I've just outlined is set up in order that we can learn. So even if particular lessons seem overwhelming or too big, they are still accomplishable. None of us is given more than we can do. In fact, I've observed that usually things seem overwhelming because people don't understand how they're set up, so they resist the learning that comes their way. Resistance then builds friction. Friction can burn, so lessons feel painful. Most people are so frightened of change, even though our earth and we are designed for change, that they usually don't change until the pain of being where they are gets to be so great that they figure it couldn't be any worse to leap to a new way of doing things. Well, today is the day you can stop this procedure of resisting and creating pain in your own life, and instead you can embrace the learning and change before such intense pain develops. I can't tell you how much more smoothly my own life and the life of many, many people that I've worked with becomes when you stop resisting the change and turn and embrace it, knowing at last things that were not told to us when we were children, that we're in school and we're either going to learn the lesson or we're going to keep on working on it. You can imagine my surprise when I discovered in my own life that if I stepped into the thing or experience I found myself afraid of and faced it, things went more smoothly and I didn't have so much pain in my life. The reason was that I was flowing with the way the world is set up instead of working so much in opposition to it. Stepping into anger means facing it, embracing it as a friend and a tool that can make life easier, and opening yourself to understanding and working with anger. And that's what you're invited to do now. Come with me, step into anger, so that we can all make friends. Let's start this segment by talking about what emotions actually are. Emotions are a form that energy takes. Each emotion has a slightly different form than every other emotion, just like snowflakes are individually different. And each of these emotions is designed to help us navigate life. If you stand back and look at it, you've probably joked about wanting to have a user's manual for human life, but in fact, we actually are given one. And our user's manual is available 24/7, and sometimes it actually screams at us to try to get us to pay attention to what we need to do. It gives us immediate feedback. That's our emotional signaling system. Emotions taken together form our human user's manual. When we understand the individual signal of each emotion, it tells us what action to take. For example, if you love somebody, the signal is come closer. Take the action of coming in, not standing away. And because each emotion offers us a signal, I view them as friends. And because each emotion ultimately acts as a friend, that means there are no such things as negative emotions. The things we usually refer to as negative emotions become so because we hold them inside and allow their energy to build up to explosive proportions. It's not because they are inherently negative. Emotions are designed to arise, to show us the way, offer their signal, point to a lesson, and then leave. There's a wonderful author, Jeffrey Mason, who wrote a best-selling book called When Elephants Weep. And it's all about animal emotion. In that book, he collected a series of stories from around the world that demonstrate the possibility that animals have emotions. As I read that story for one of my radio broadcasts on Full Power Living, I realized that animals have a lot to teach us about how we work with emotions, because this is what animals do with emotions. They have an experience. They feel the emotion, they act on the basis of the emotion, then they let it go and resume life as it was before the experience occurred. Well, human beings can do that too, but we tend to hold on, to harbor, to resent. And in reality, we need to follow the animals. So I'm going to suggest that you do this with anger too. When you have an experience and it creates anger, feel it. Act on the basis of it, and then let it go. But remember this commandment. This is what I'm going to suggest you do with anger also. Have the experience, feel the emotion, learn to act on the basis of the direction the emotion gives you, and then let it go and resume your life. But keep this commandment in mind. Get your anger out of you, but not on to someone else. We are aware that a lot of anger is being released by humans these days. I think anger shows up because it's time for us to learn about it and allow it its proper place. Let's review what we've already said about anger. It's our most active emotion, and therefore it has a powerful impact. It's available to help us if only we understand and use its signal. It can lead us to horrendous problems if we hold on to it and don't deal with it. It provides lessons for us to learn so that we can learn. And it works best when its signal is used and learned from and then let go of. Before we can fully understand the signals of anger, we need to know anger's universal cause. As we're growing up, we're busy learning about what the earth is like, how things work when we're here, and we put all this information into our brain in the form of pictures and ideas of how things are supposed to be on the earth. Since we start when we're very young, these pictures and ideas go in a fairly primitive form, on the basis of shoulds and should nots. You should wait in line. You should not leave me. You should always hug me. We learn our pictures of how things are supposed to be in the terms of shoulds and should nots. These are all picture ideas of how things are supposed to be in the world according to what we've learned. Anger occurs then when our internal picture that we've developed of how things are supposed to be gets violated. For example, on the freeway, when someone drives in front of you and cuts you off, do you think you should wait your turn and then the driver doesn't? If so, you'll feel angry. In a relationship, do you think you should not leave me and then if your partner does, you'll feel angry? Whenever a person's shoulds get violated, anger is the result. That is the universal cause of anger. The shoulds and should nots that you hold in your brain get violated. The idea that you have of how things are supposed to be in the world gets punctured. And the result is that we get angry. And it doesn't matter where you are in the world, how old you are, what color you are, what your religion is, that will get is the basis of getting angry. But here's where it gets interesting. If your shoulds can be violated, then it means that your should is incorrect. After all, if it's really true that every person must wait their turn, then nobody would ever break the rule. If somebody does break the rule, then the rule is not correct. That means that anger comes to us to signal something about the picture we hold about how things ought to be, according to our mind, in the world. Bottom line, anger comes up inside of us to signal us to update our incorrect idea of how life really is. And that means that one of the two signals of anger is that we have an incorrect picture of how things are supposed to be in this world, and it's time to update. Our emotion of anger is giving us an opportunity to get more current with the way things really are in the world, if we're willing to update. And by the way, if you're not willing to update right away, that's okay. The lesson will wait for you, and it will repeat and repeat and repeat until you're willing to change. And that's the way things are set up. That's always encouraged me to turn and start making the change as soon as possible. It becomes clear then that one way to change whatever angers you is to change your picture, your shoulds, and we'll talk to you about how you can do that. I once taught a noontime class in the Marin County, California Civic Center on transforming anger. And I was in about the third of eight classes when a woman raised her hand. She was about in her mid-50s, and she challenged me. She said, "You know, Eileen, I'll believe all this stuff you're saying about anger if you can help me with my problem. My problem is that every Sunday I meet my mother in church, and after church I bring her home with me. She stays overnight, and I take her back by her home the following morning on my way to work. And my problem really is that by Sunday evening, I am ready to kill that woman. And so, of course, I asked her why, and she said because she criticizes me all day long. She says things like, "I don't remember that we ever made mashed potatoes like that. Do you, dear? And by the evening, I am ready to chew nails." "How long has she been doing that?" I asked her. "All my life." "Well, then," I said, "the first thing that you need to do is to face fact. You're not facing the fact. You think that your mother should not criticize you, when in fact, that's one of her best things. She's been doing it for close to half a century. So face the fact. Your mother is going to criticize. It's what she does. It's what she does best. Face the fact. The second thing, I need to know from you, about how many times does she criticize you in one afternoon?" "Oh, about 5 or 6, she said. "Well, in that case, this week, I want you to get out a pencil and paper. And whenever your mother criticizes you, I want you to put just a little straight mark on the paper. And here's the rule. Your mother must criticize you at least 10 times this Sunday. If she doesn't, your job is to get angry with her. Now, go out and do this and come back next week and tell us what happened." Well, the next week she came in and could hardly wait to tell us what happened. It turns out that as she started to make the little marks on the paper, she started to laugh. And she almost couldn't hide her laughter from her mother. And she reported to us in class that her mother really only criticized her 4 times, but she could not get angry with her. So let's find out in our next segment what happens with this woman and her mother. But take from this that there's one more signal from anger, and that is to take action. How many times have you said or heard other people say, "That's it, I've had it, now I'm angry, now I'm going to do something about this"? Anger, through its very active nature, pushes us to take action. So the unique signals of this emotion, anger, are: 1, update your antiquated picture of how things are supposed to be, and 2, take action. Keep these in mind. They're important as you discover how to work more effectively with anger. And in our next section, we'll be talking about how to change your shoulds. I want you to take a short break right here to make a list of some of the things about which you get angry. Take a sheet of paper and fold it in half straight down the sheet long ways. On the left-hand side, put at the top, "I get angry when," and then make a list. For example, "I get angry when people don't keep their commitments." "I get angry when I do something stupid or clumsy." "I get angry when my child gives me that look." "I get angry when I'm lied to, when people interrupt me, when I get poor restaurant service." When you have put at least 10 things on your list, open up your paper to reveal the other half, and at the top put these words: "What is supposed to be true?" And next to each of the items on your list, I want you to restate the anger in should form. For example, "People don't keep their commitments." "I get angry when people don't keep their commitments" is on the left side. And on the right side, "People should keep their commitments." Or, "If I should never be stupid or clumsy," on the right side you say, "I should never be stupid or clumsy." If I get angry when my child gives me a look, then on the right side I'll say, "My child should not give me that look." So make a list of the anger and the should. Everything for which we become angry can be reduced to a should, And this is important, this list, because you can then work with the should in order to make the change. So go do that and then come back to the recording. In the last segment, I was telling you about a woman in my class who got very angry when her mother criticized her. She had shoulds. Her mother should not criticize her, and yet it was clear that she really should criticize her daughter because that was her best thing and she'd been doing it faithfully for more than 50 years. So the minute this woman started putting the marks on the paper, she stopped her anger. She couldn't be angry. In fact, she started laughing. Why? Because she was already replacing the should with something new. She was replacing the old should, you should not criticize me, with you really should criticize me at least 10 times. So how do you do that? You do that by rewriting your shoulds. First, as this woman did, you look at the facts of the situation. What are the facts? People should not cut me off on the freeway. Well, in actual fact, drivers do cut you off on the freeway, maybe 25 or 30% of them. So your new should is at least 25 to 30% of all drivers on the freeway should cut me off. What about your child giving you that look? Well, my child should give me that look because he or she does, and they do it now that they're 13 at least 50% of the time. So now I say, my child should make that look at me at least 50% of the time. So some of the time I should do stupid and clumsy things because that's what I see myself doing. And now once I rewrite the shoulds, then my mind responds whenever one of these things happens and says, oh, that's part of what I expect to happen. And that makes this immediate thing no longer holding anger for you because your should is changed. I want you to take another break here with a new sheet of paper. Rewrite the shoulds you put on your list of things about which you get angry. And here are some pointers. First of all, look squarely at what is happening and make your should based on these facts. You can also go to the opposite of what you've expected. If you think your child should never give you that look, perhaps you go to the opposite and think you should always get that look. You can also make a should that allows this thing to happen a percentage of the time, like we did with the freeway drivers. And if your old should now seems silly to you, make your new should silly too. Come back to listen to more of this section whenever you've completed this. Thanks for rewriting your shoulds. Now, whenever your old should gets violated, your brain can start referring to your new should and you'll find yourself staying calm, perhaps even laughing the way the woman in the story did instead of getting angry. Well, I talked with her in the second class, or the third class, and in the fourth class, and then I didn't check with her again until the last class. And I said to her, well, before this class ends, I want to find out what's happening with the criticism. She was silent for a moment, and she said, what criticism? I said, you remember, Sundays, your mother, criticism, mashed potatoes? Oh, she doesn't do that anymore. The whole class was in a terrible uproar. 50 years this mother had been criticizing this woman, and during the course of this 8-week class, she stopped. In 5 weeks, she stopped altogether. Why did this happen? Well, the woman changed her should. She also learned her lesson in this giant school we're all attending. When you learn your lesson, you get to graduate. And by changing her should, she was able to go on to other things. The minute she learned her lesson, she was finished and she graduated. But why did the mother stop criticizing altogether? I don't know totally because I never talked to her. But one thing that happens in life is when a behavior experiences no resistance, it gets no energy. And when there's no energy for a behavior, it tends to atrophy and drop away. And that's why we encourage people to follow the principle to pay attention to what you want to become and not to what you want to overcome. So as things changed internally for the woman in my class, they also changed outside of her in the world. This is how the giant school works, and it's the way it will work for you too. Sometimes people have difficulty changing their shoulds. Why is this? Well, one of the reasons is that they don't face fact. They don't look squarely at how things actually are. Another is that we're not ready to change our picture of how the world is supposed to be. Part of that sometimes can have to do with retribution. We want to get other people back. We want to make sure they understand what they've done to us. We want people to get it. And so we don't want to release our own anger because we somehow connect that with not being able to get over what we want to the other person. We think that they're unlikely to get it, but in the meantime, we are hurt and we don't realize what we're doing to ourselves. The bottom line is that when we hold on to anger, it provides us a secondary gain. We get something from remaining angry. And a key to releasing anger is to identify your secondary gain and then release it. For example, it can allow you to have righteous anger. Well, I would never do that to you. Well, I never have done those things to you. And if you give up your anger and relinquish your shoulds or change them to something different, then you won't be able to become righteously angry. And we can talk about that more in upcoming teleseminars. The sooner you change your shoulds, however, the sooner you're released from slavery to them. In our next segment, we'll be talking about borrowed shoulds and anger that comes from others. Let me tell you a story from many years ago when my daughter, who is now 39, was an 8-year-old. I was a single parent. I was very stressed. I had a lot to do in the morning to get my 2 children off to school. And inevitably, for a period of time, my daughter brought her hairbrush to me in the kitchen as I was making breakfast and asked me to fix her hair. Initially, I was incredibly angry with her. I would stand there and fix her hair and tell her my lecture, which is, you don't have hair in the kitchen. Hair does not belong in the kitchen. This hair should be fixed in your bedroom or in the bathroom. Why do you keep bringing the hairbrush to me in the kitchen? Well, you've probably already caught it by now, but it took me a few weeks to realize that all the while I was lecturing my daughter about not bringing hair into the kitchen, I was actually fixing her hair in the kitchen. Clearly, it didn't really matter to me whether I fixed her hair in the kitchen because that's what I was doing. That got my curiosity up. It must be somebody else's should, somebody else's voice in my head. And I looked around and I realized that it was my grandmother's voice. And here's how it happened. When I was 5, my parents sent me to live with my grandparents on their farm. I loved it. Every morning I would get up and I would go to the barn with my grandfather and we would milk the cow and I would lean on the cow's warm flank and pet her. And then after he finished milking, we would stop by the smokehouse and we would pour some of the milk into the dish for the mother cat that was inevitably there and all of her little kittens to drink. And I would pick up the kittens and I would hold them close and I would pet them. And by the time I got back to the farmhouse where my grandmother had been making breakfast for us, she would call out to me, "Now, Eileen, you wash your face and hands and dust yourself off because I don't want hair in my kitchen." I discovered through my daughter's actions that I had been getting angry for years for my grandmother's should, for something that was important to her, a picture of how she thought things should be and not based on myself. So to rewrite this should, I first of all identified this to my daughter and myself, and then I made a new should. I said to my daughter, from now on, you must bring the hairbrush to me in the kitchen to fix your hair, otherwise I'm going to get angry. Well, how many more times do you think my daughter brought the hairbrush? Not once, because I had learned my lesson. I had rewritten the should. And I thanked my daughter for helping me to learn, and I also thanked my grandmother and appreciated her and myself for learning this lesson. A week or two later, I went to a woman's home where I was going to be teaching a course on parenting. And she took her children to school, and I needed something and looked for that inevitable drawer we all have in the kitchen, that junk drawer, for a tack or a paper clip. One of the drawers I opened looking for the junk drawer had nothing but hairbrushes in it, in the kitchen. And I laughed because I realized that not everybody held my grandmother's should. If you find yourself getting angry over something that your behavior shows isn't really that important to you, then ask yourself the question, is this my voice? If not, whose voice is it? What did I learn? Do I want to change it? If so, what do I want to change it to? Change it inside of yourself, change your should, and things outside of you will change. So you can watch the results. And then, as I learned to do, be grateful to your deepest self, as well as the self that changed, and the other people that are involved, and include, of course, the person who should you borrowed. Be grateful that you've been able to learn this lesson. You always have a choice about what you hold in your mind about how you think things should be on this earth. And if you open yourself to learning and being the most complete you that you can be, the deepest part of yourself will bring what's in your subconscious mind right to the surface so you can notice it and make changes. The people around you are using their deepest parts too to do their part in the process. So think about it. When somebody is driving you crazy or so-called making you angry, they may actually be working very hard to help you become the best and most complete person you can be. And for that, you can be grateful to them. What about when anger is coming from other people? I find that a lot of people, for various reasons, are very afraid of other people becoming angry with them. But now that you understand the bottom line universal cause of anger, that we have a picture inside of ourselves about how things are supposed to be happening and that gets violated, it will be easier for you to work with the anger coming from others, because you'll realize that anytime somebody gets angry with you, it's because their should has been violated. And when they tell you that they're angry with you, all you really need to do is to acknowledge that those shoulds have been violated. You can say things such as, you think I should have acknowledged you immediately when you came in the door. You think I should not brush my teeth while you're talking to me. You think I should have thought about how my actions affect you. And notice these are all statements, not questions. Just giving this acknowledgement that the other person holds shoulds eases their anger. And if you want to, you can follow this with a responsible statement about your own behavior. For example, you think I should have acknowledged you immediately when you came in the door. I'm sorry I didn't acknowledge you immediately. I was absorbed in my own work and didn't look. You think I shouldn't brush my teeth while you're talking to me. You know, brushing my teeth holds a high priority for me. So I may at times violate this rule, but I don't intend to be rude to you. You think I should have thought about how my actions affect you. It's a good idea to look at the effect of my actions, so thank you for the reminder. One other thing you can do as people are that someone is angry with you is to do what is called the little O breathing. And in order to do that, what you do is shape your mouth into a little tiny O the size of a lifesaver. And slowly, so you can't even hear the air coming in, draw air into yourself and imagine it filling every cell of your body, and then breathe out through your nose. So breathe in through the little O. Let the oxygen and the fresh air go through all through your body, and breathe out the stale air that you don't need anymore. Breathe in the little O, let it fill all your cells, and then breathe it out. This will allow you to, one, have something to do while the other person's being angry, or two, it also allows you to breathe deeply, which people tend not to do when they're either angry or afraid. And it's an easy way to get through anger if you can't leave the scene. But remember, there's no rule that says that a person has to stay and allow someone else to dump their anger on them. So let's wrap all of this up. You're on your way to working with anger in ways that will allow you to use it as the tool that it's intended to be, rather than allowing it to run you. Let's look back at what we've covered. We're all in school. We're in a giant school that has been set up for us to learn and grow. Our emotions, like anger, help us in this process. Emotions are energy that take a particular form, each one giving us a signal that allows us to know what action we need to take in successfully navigating life. Anger signals are that we, one, hold an incorrect picture about how things are supposed to be in our world, or two, we need to take action. So when we know and pay attention to and work with these signals that anger gives us, we make forward progress in life. We do this by working with our shoulds, changing them, and then letting the anger go and moving on. You can let anger go just by placing it on the palm of your hand and blowing it away. Anger is the most active emotion that we have. If we hold on to it, it can damage us in many ways. Ultimately, it can even kill us. It's vital that we listen to anger's signal and then let it go, so we don't allow anger to continue to hurt us while we hold it inside of us. Remember not to let it go onto others, out of you, but not onto others. It has always helped me, in terms of letting anger go, to realize that if I'm angry with somebody, if they've done something that violates me, if I hold the anger inside and it's hurting me, then really I'm allowing them to get me twice. So turning loose of anger allows them only one shot at you, which is a position I prefer. When we change our own shoulds, things tend to change outside of us too. And while we can't predict or control these changes, they occur because the outside world, by design, reflects back to us what's inside of us. So when we change what's inside of us, the outside things change. When we calm our anger, when we change the particular things that cause us to feel angry, then we change our experience in the outside world. There are a lot of things more that I could tell you about anger and how to work with it. Let me just review, for purposes of our future teleseminar, some of those things. There are five important ways that anger negatively impacts your life. There are two hidden forms of anger. There are ways that anger obeys the laws of energy and physics. There are principles that govern anger. You can learn the payoffs for holding on to anger, even when it's not serving us. You can learn how to process anger with yourself and with others, and more about the power and importance of forgiveness, and what to do instead of becoming angry. And the one I love is how to have fun with anger. You can sign up for our next upcoming teleseminar by sending email to me at Eileen, I-L-E-N-E, at emotionalpro.com. For now, I'm Eileen Dillon, MSW, the Emotional Pro, thanking you for your interest in becoming an emotional master and putting the particular angers that you experience to rest. I'm also reminding you to pay attention to what you want to become and not to what you want to overcome.